words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. God's very nature is love. We are loved by God, and we are commanded to love God and each other because God's very nature is love. In John 15, our gospel today, the nature of the love of God, God's very nature, is given to us, described primarily in three ways. To love as God and for God and with God is to abide, to sacrifice for, and to befriend. To befriend other human beings. Supporting these three actions is a reliance on what 1 John calls the Spirit of Truth, and what the book of Acts describes as the astounding inclusion of the Holy Spirit, which was poured out even on those who were thought not to be saved, even on the Gentiles. God's Holy Spirit and astounding grace call us into a community of love. We are to love one another, to abide, to sacrifice for, to befriend one another with a spirit of truth and astounding inclusion. William Sloan Coffin, great preacher, once said that if we hate evil more than we love the good, we've become damn good haters. And of those, the world already has too many. However deep our anger, like that of Christ, must always and only measure our love. Of God's love, we can say two things. It is poured out universally for everyone, from the Pope to the lowliest wino, that's Sloan Coffin's term. And secondly, God's love doesn't seek value, it creates value. It is not because we have value that we are loved, but because we are loved that we have value. Our value is a gift, not an achievement. So what does love in action look like? Sometimes it looks like the willingness to stick with each other, for better or for worse, in the sadness and difficulties of life that life always brings. Sometimes profound ones like illness or unemployment. Or sometimes it's just a project that you're trying to do together and not get extremely irritated with each other about. Like putting together an Adirondack chair with a million parts and confusing directions. Abiding means to figure out, even if you have one piece short of what the project demands, what's the best way to work out, to work that out. Even if it's late, tired. Love is abiding through the profundities and through the irritations, sticking with one another. So today we're going to look a little bit at what love is, what it means to abide, to sacrifice for, and to befriend through it all. What does it mean to abide in love? I think I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. Some of the most beautiful love songs describe the everyday uplifting and abiding of love. And one of my favorites is the song Sometime by Sweet Honey in the Rock. The lyrics go, sometime day breaks in my life. Sometime the sun shines in my life. Sometimes things work right in my life, and you are that sometime. When the shackles fall from my heart, when the rocks seem to roll from my way, when I find myself open to love, you are my when. For the ending of being alone, for the believing in the smiles and the warmth I feel, for our leavings to come back again, you are my for. Some time doesn't come every day. When seems to never get here at all. For is the future that I could never face, and you bring them all to me. To abide in love means to be there in the sometimes, in the whens, and in the fors with each other, to bring them to each other, to help each other see and experience the abiding beauty of this gift of life and this gift of love that God has given us. In his book, The Living on the Border of the Holy, William Countryman speaks of what it means to love by abiding. We are to be with each other, reaching across the chasms, across the gaps that separate us, and we look to stay together in relationship. He says, even if we believe that God is a God who has loved us and given us gifts, who has reached out to us across whatever separates us, it is still a challenge to look toward the future, to let go of our anxieties, and to live actively in the assurance that God, when all is said and done, will continue to love and commune and work with us. The hidden holy is neither against us nor aloof from us, but for us. Even if things do not go as we wish, even if circumstances appear to be against us, even if God seems to have abandoned us, as Jesus also felt on the cross, hope keeps just looking forward and expecting some surprising grace. And this expectation is not just a matter of passive waiting. Da-da-da, I'm waiting for surprising grace. No. No, it's an active waiting. It's an active love. Sometimes it feels like we can't do anything more but just wait, and sometimes life is so heavy that that's all we can do. But when times aren't that hard, that active waiting for surprising grace is a matter of living expectantly, and therefore of framing a life that keeps looking forward. Even under adverse circumstances, the Christian stands tall in the knowledge of being loved and chosen, and lives as honest an existence as possible, showing respect both for yourself and for neighbor. That is what it means to live and love abiding. The person who wants to stand tall needs a strong sense of the shared humanity that binds us to one another in giving and receiving. Amid the realities of daily existence, you abide, you draw hope for courage from the future, from one another. So that's abiding. What does it mean to sacrifice for? I remembered a Chinese proverb that says, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. That's the parent's happiness guide. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help someone. So sacrifice doesn't necessarily have to be a grand gesture. It must be putting someone's needs before your own, giving up something for the other, in little ways and small. It means even when you're right, not insisting on proving it. It means putting someone else's needs in front of yours. Sister Joan Chittister used to say that the purpose of life is not to be happy. The purpose of life is to matter. And when you sacrifice, when you give up, when you put ahead of yourself others, you know you matter. Some of you might have read a book. It's a classic that many people look to. Some of it is totally not applicable to today's life, and some of it is eternal. And I think this quote fits in this question of what does it mean to sacrifice. And the book is The Practice of the Presence of God. And the quote is that we ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. So showing up, putting ahead of yourself, all of those sacrifices that you make because you know you are loved and you know God wants you to love others, that's sacrifice. Sacrifice is the shortest part of my sermon today, probably should be the longest, but I'm going to move on to what it means to befriend. There's a story about a beggar in 16th century Paris who, desperately ill, was taken to the operating table of a group of doctors. And they, in Latin, thinking that he would not be able to understand them, saw the opportunity to use this person they thought nobody cared for. And they said, I won't butcher the Latin, I'm just going to tell you the English. They said, let us experiment on this vile fellow. And the beggar, who was actually an impoverished student, who later became a renowned poet, replied from the slab on which they had laid him, will you call vile one for whom Christ did not disdain to die? We are to befriend not just those who live and think exactly like us, or give us something in return, or can be useful to us. We are to value and befriend not just those who drive the same cars, wear the same workout clothes, listen to the same music, or vote for the same candidates. We are to befriend and respect those for whom Christ did not disdain to die. To love is surely to encourage and support, but not necessarily to approve. Quite the contrary. We love one another, we will help one another fight against our basest instincts, to fight for the love that we know we are capable of. When through despair or self-pity we become dead to rapture, friends are needed to remind us that God made the rift of the dawn and the reddening rose. Friend is not a person who puts her friendship before her friend, but who risks her friendship for the sake of her friend. Finally, love is about respect. You will sacrifice for one whom you respect, getting out of yourself and gaining yourself, even your own self-respect, as you climb out of self-centeredness. You know that there's a connection between the words respect and fear and love as regards to God. And this is how I like to think of it. The fear of God is not a quaking terror, a strike me down if I do something wrong control mechanism for God keeping us in our place. The fear of the Lord is what you feel in your heart when you know that you have lacked respect for the one you have and the ones for the love you have and the ones you have been given to love. It's the fear that someone will stop loving you because of your callousness. It's the fear that there'll be no forgiveness because what you've done is actually unforgivable. It's the fear of hurting someone you really do not want to hurt. And that's a good fear. That's a love, a fear that guards against thoughtlessness. It helps you not to feel guilty or unworthy, but to motivate you to your best self. Leads to respectful behavior and binds us together in relationship, binds us together as family, because you know that through God's love, through the value God's love gives you, there is no separation that cannot be bridged. There is no unforgivable that cannot be forgiven. There is always room for reconciliation and renewal. However you define your family, chosen friends, biological, church, AA, the corner cafe, love means showing up for each other, going where we don't necessarily want to go because we show up for each other. So the question for us now is, are we showing up? Are we doing the best we can? True love sacrifices not to feel smarter or better or stronger or expecting sacrifice in return. It means giving up control, giving up expectation, giving solely for the good of others. These are many aspects of the art of loving God and loving like God. So let's recommit this day to live in the spirit of truth and the expectation of surprising grace and in astounding inclusion that is described and promised in our scriptures today. And let us love. Let us abide. Let us sacrifice. Let us befriend. And we will be doing as God has not only asked us to do. We will be doing not only what God has shown us to do. We will be doing as God has commanded us to do.